during Bible times, leprosy was the most dreaded of diseases. Albert Barnes, the great Bible commentator, says, "No disease with which the human family has been afflicted has been more dreadful than that which is often mentioned in the Bible as leprosy." The loathsomeness and fear of leprosy arose from a number of very terrible reasons. The first reason simply was, it was an incurable disease. Once a person contracted this plague, then there was nothing anyone could do for them. There was no cure. There was no remedy in Bible times. And so the patient who was afflicted with leprosy, just had to suffer, had to endure until death came. It was universally believed that if someone was to be cured of leprosy, that only God himself could provide this cure. Only God could heal those that had the plague of leprosy. And this was universally accepted by those that believed in the one living and true God, and also by heathen nations. It is believed that if someone was cured of leprosy, then God had done it. There is an illustration of this in the Old Testament, as Naaman the Syrian general was told that in Israel there was a prophet who could cure him of leprosy. And so Naaman, he sent word to the king of Israel, and he demanded of the king of Israel that he would be cured of his leprosy, that the king of Israel would facilitate this cure. And the king of Israel's response was, "Well, what can I do?" In fact, the king of Israel believed that the king of Syria was trying to pick a war with him, pick a fight with him, that they might enter into battle. And in his distress, this is what the king of Israel said, "Am I God, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy?" And see what his words were. He was saying, "Listen, I'm not God. I cannot cure someone of leprosy." And so it was widely accepted that if someone was cured of leprosy, of this terrible, this dreadful plague, then only God could do it. Such was it. Such was his dread. Such was its fear. And so leprosy was a fearful and dreadful disease because there was no human cure for it. It was also a terrible disease because of the nature by which it attacked the body. It started off in a small way, perhaps just a spot. And I'm sure you've noticed as we have read through this chapter this evening of how if someone got a spot in the flesh, something of a different colour, a rising or a scab, then they had to go to the priest. And you see, leprosy started off in this small way, just as a small spot on the skin. And then it would eventually cover the whole body and it would cover the face, leaving behind the body that was marked and disfigured with great deformity. Eventually it would attack the organs, the internal organs of the body. And death was inevitable. Death would come. We can say it was a long-lasting disease. Those affected by this disease didn't have a quick and sudden death, but rather it lasted for years. Those suffering with it suffered up to 20 years with this disease, with pain and difficulty racking their body. One of the clearest statements in Scripture which describes the horrendousness of leprosy is found in Numbers 12 and 12. Moses, in this verse, is praying for his sister Miriam, that she might be healed from the leprosy that had smitten her. And listen to what Moses prays as he prays for his sister Miriam. He prays these words: "Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." This is Moses' description of leprosy. He describes leprosy as a child which is born dead and has been dead some time in its mother's womb, and the flesh being consumed away. What a terrible graphic picture is brought before our minds. And really the sufferer of leprosy was one whose flesh decomposed while they were yet alive. And that's what happened, that's what took place. Their flesh rotted away in their body. And they literally were dying while they yet were living. It was a most dreadful, a most horrendous disease. Because of the seriousness of leprosy, God gave clear instructions to Israel concerning this disease. And we have these instructions in Leviticus in chapters 13 and 14. God was giving Israel clear instructions how to deal with this disease and how to manage it if it broke out among the people. But what these instructions teach us is not only how Israel were to deal with leprosy on a practical level, they also reveal to us the connection between leprosy and sin. The connection between leprosy that attacks the body and sin that attacks the soul. You see, there is a connection between these two things in Scripture. The disease of leprosy in the body points to the disease of sin in the soul. And Scripture draws this to our attention in a number of occasions and in a number of different ways. We've already mentioned the case of Miriam being smitten with leprosy and Moses praying for her. He prays for his sister who has this disease. But Miriam's leprosy occurred because of her sin. Miriam and Aaron, they spoke against Moses. They spoke against God's servant. And therefore God smit Miriam with leprosy. And there we have the connection between sin and leprosy. Miriam suffered this disease because she sinned against God. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, God told them this in Deuteronomy 7. He said, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Leprosy was one of these evil diseases. And so God had promised to Israel, when you come out of Egypt and you go into the promised land, if you live according to my word, if you keep my commandments, if you honor me and live for me, then none of these evil diseases shall come upon you, but they'll come upon your enemies. Those that didn't live for God, and didn't follow him. And so again here we're brought to see the connection between leprosy and sin. Think again of Elisha's servant who lied and stole. Remember Elisha's servant that went after Naaman. Naaman the leper, he had been cured of his leprosy. And he offered a gift to Elisha and Elisha refused it. And then his servant later on went after Naaman and made up a tale, made up a story, told lies to obtain some garments and some money. That he might have these things. What was his punishment? What was his judgment for his sin? He and his family were plagued with leprosy. And you see, Scripture brings together these two things. These most horrific and heinous things. Leprosy in the body and sin in the soul. And this is what I want us to consider this evening. I want us to look at sin. The leprosy of the soul. For that is what sin is. Scripture brings these things together. And so therefore we ought to consider them. And consider them together. And thinking then of this disease and what it teaches us about sin, we must consider the condition of the leper. The condition of the leper. Notice what it says in verse 46 here in Leviticus 13. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. We've already thought upon the utter misery of this terrible plague. It would have been the dread of every Israelite to hear the priest in the temple pronounce, it is the plague of leprosy, you're unclean. That would have been the most dreadful thing to hear. That would have been the thing that would have filled the person's heart with fear as they seen a spot develop in their skin. They did not want to hear the priest say, it is the plague of leprosy, you are unclean. The long and miserable death that was almost now guaranteed was accompanied by the stigma that went with being a leper. The stigma of being a leper in Israel. But when a person was declared a leper, it meant two things. It meant two things. It meant they were unclean. Verse 46 says, the leper is defiled and he is unclean. And both these words carry the same primary thought and meaning. And that is the thought of pollution and corruption. The condition of the leper is one of being unclean. For their body was polluted with a corrupt disease. It was a disease they had no control over. And the longer that unclean disease coursed its way through the victim's body, the more corrupt and defiled and unclean the body became. Surely, we can see the clear parallel here to man and sin. He has been corrupted by sin. He too is unclean. Isaiah 64 verse 6 describing man says, but we are all as an unclean thing. We are defiled by sin. And Job 25 and 4 asks the question, how then can man be just with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of woman? How can he be clean that is born of woman? The clear reference is man born of woman is unclean. And his uncleanness issues forth from the sad truth that the leprosy of sin has corrupted his soul. The leprosy of sin lives there in his soul. It grows there in his soul. He is a defiled and unclean creature. The Apostle Paul, in feeling a terrible sense of his own uncleanness, cried out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You see, my friend, as we consider the leper tonight, and the terrible uncleanness that is so apparent from their disfigured and deformed body, and also from the smell of rotting flesh that would have been appalling, that issued forth from the leper, as you visualize that scene in your mind, and I want you to visualize that scene tonight. A crippled, deformed, disfigured leper that stinks from rotting flesh. Remember, this is but a physical description of man's spiritual condition and uncleanness and filthiness as a sinner. In your eyes and in the eyes of others, you might not see yourself as unclean. You might not see yourself as defiled. You might not see yourself as corrupt. Oh yes, there's other people out there. There's that person that is in the street. That person that is addicted to drugs or drink. Or that person that has thrown their life away in an immoral sense. Not me. Well, God says, of all men in sin, we are all as an unclean thing. We are all as an unclean thing. We're just like the leper. We're like the leper. The condition of the leper was one of being unclean. It was also a condition of being unwelcome. Unwelcome. In verse 46 it tells us, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. The leper was not welcome. They were cut off completely from society and every aspect of life in Israel. Dwelling alone speaks of how they were cut off from their family. Without the camp reveals they were not found among the people of God or in the house of God. They were not able to go there. There was isolation. The condition of the leper brought awful separation. And as the leper lived alone outside the camp, they would have been so conscious of the effect of their condition. The effect of their condition. Cut off from God and his people. In total isolation. You know, I'm thinking of the poor victim of leprosy. You might feel what a terrible existence. Living there day after day in isolation. And they perhaps could see the town that they lived outside. They could see what was happening in the town. They perhaps could see their family from a distance and see how people were going in and out to the marketplace. They were seeing how people were going in and out from the temple. But they themselves were cut off. They themselves could not draw near because they were lepers. What a terrible existence it was. What a lonely existence. And it was a terrible existence. But let me say this tonight. Dear sinner, spare your sympathy for your own soul. Because man in sin lives and exists in a far worse isolation. Man in sin is not welcome in God's presence. He is cut off from God, and if he dies in that condition, then his separation from God shall not just be something which he exists in life, but it shall be an eternal separation from God in that place which is called hell itself. And there in hell, it will be utter isolation, and darkness, utter darkness, and in the judgment of God. Often wicked people think of hell, well, you know, I'll be in hell with my buddies, I'll be in hell with my friends, I'll have a good time, and those people that I like, and those people that I love, and I like to spend time with, they'll be in hell, so I'll have a great time. My friend, don't delude yourself. In hell, you'll be in absolute isolation. Complete separate. From every comfort. And for every form of mercy. While the disease of sin fills your soul, you're not welcome in God's presence. And that is the most solemn thought. God would just drive you out. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden? The Bible tells us God drove them out. Why? Because the sinner's not welcome in God's presence. They're like that leper. God drives them from him. Isaiah says in Isaiah 59 and 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. The only way this separation can be ended is when the disease of sin is dealt with. And it doesn't, no matter who you are tonight, what position you hold or how you've lived your life, your sin, like leprosy, brings separation. It brings a terrible separation. The leprosy that King Uzziah was afflicted with because of his sin demonstrates to us that it doesn't matter who you are tonight. It doesn't matter what position you hold or how you've lived or what family you're associated with. If you're in your sin, you're not welcomed by God. We said of Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Even the king, the very king of Israel, was not welcome in God's house because of leprosy. So it is with man and sin. It doesn't matter if you're a king tonight. In your sin, you're not welcome in God's presence. You must have your sin dealt with. You need that cleansing before you can enter into God's house and into his presence. And so we see here the condition of the leper. It was one of being unclean and one of being unwelcome. Think also with me here of the contrition of the leper. The contrition, verse 45, tells us, the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare. After the priest declared the leper unclean, they then instructed them to do certain things. And these things might appear this evening to us to be without love and without compassion. But they were all born out of the fact that the evil disease, this evil disease came upon the people of God as a result of their sin. It came upon them as a result of their disobedience. And that's what we must continually keep before us. The instructions given to the leper all flow out of this truth that the disease of leprosy came about because of sin. As I've already said, God had told Israel that he would bless them with good health and prosperity if they loved him and if they feared him. The other side of this coin is if they forsook God and lived for self and served other gods, then Israel would endure evil diseases. They would endure these evil diseases like leprosy. In Deuteronomy 28, God warned them of this very thing. Listen to what God said to them. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. And so, as we think of the instructions God gave concerning the leper, they must all be seen in the light of what God had previously said about these diseases. The cause of these diseases, why they came. They were as a result of Israel's sin, of Israel's disobedience. The God of Israel had revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And therefore these diseases came about because of their own sin. When disease then struck, it was necessary for the one infected to consider their own spiritual state and repent of their sin. This is why God gives the instructions he does in verse 45, where the leper is to rent their clothes and their head was to be bare. Such actions were the actions of a mourner, one that was heavy of heart and sorrowful. And they speak to us of contrition. As the leper considered their condition, as they considered their physical condition, the disease that had riddled their body, the disease that had came to them, they must now reflect upon the cause of this disease. The reason for it. And God had told them why they had these diseases. Because of their sin. Therefore, this must lead to contrition of heart and of soul. What does God require of the soul infected with the leprosy of sin? We are all contaminated. We've all contracted the terrible leprosy of sin. What does God now require of us? What is the instructions he has given to us? Well, Psalm 51 tells us that desirest not sacrifice, else will I give it. They delight us not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That's what God requires of the sinner. The very same thing. The rending not of our garments, but of our hearts before Him in sorrow over our sin. Being broken. Being broken and weeping over our own iniquitous and corrupt condition. It is only those who weep over their sin that will enjoy the happiness of God's salvation. And that's a very important point to remember in these days. Only those that weep over their sin will ever enter in and enjoy God's salvation. And in this age of easy believism, where many seem to make some sort of profession and go to a meeting and raise a hand, we must be conscious of this. God requires contrition of heart. In Isaiah 61 in the verse 3, this is very powerfully brought before us. If we turn there just to Isaiah 61 in the verse 3 for a moment, these words will be familiar, I know, to perhaps all of us, but not for the reason why we're looking at them this evening. In Isaiah 61, we have here a chapter that's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the opening words it says, Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." And so in these opening words it's speaking about Christ. How Christ is going to come and bring deliverance and bring salvation. And then notice what it says in verse 3. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." Now, of course, these words are often, have often been used in the context of someone losing a loved one. Someone losing a loved one and they pass away and these words are quoted. "Oh, that the Lord would give you beauty for ashes and joy for mourning and praise for the spirit of heaviness." And there's a lovely application there. But you know what these words are all about? They're all about contrition over sin. That's what it's all about. To give unto them beauty for ashes. Those that are in ashes are those that are mourning. Because that's what they did in Bible times. That they put upon themselves sackcloth and ashes in grief. And they mourned. And Christ, as He comes, He says, "I give you beauty for ashes." Speaks here about those that are mourning. They'll get the oil of joy. And again, that is speaking about a sorrow of heart. And Christ, as He comes, He will give joy. And He gives the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that spirit that is broken over sin. And so this is all speaking about contrition. And a heaviness and a sorrow and a mourning and a weeping over our sin. And it is these people that Christ comes to and gives joy and praise and beauty. And so what we're learning here is this. Only those that weep over their sin will ever come to enjoy God's salvation. Only those that have this contrition of heart over the iniquity that is in their soul will ever know the blessedness of forgiveness of sins. Is there that contrition in your heart tonight over your sin? You know the sin that affects your soul. Is there that mourning, that heaviness, that contrition? It says, "Against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Well, this was needful here with the one who had the plague of leprosy. They had to rend their garments. They had to bare their heads. And this was also needful in those that have the disease of sin within the soul. There must be that rending of our hearts before God, that coming and confessing that we have broken God's law. And so we see here with the leper, the condition of the leper. The contrition of the leper. Notice also here, the confession of the leper. In verse 45, it goes on to say, "And the leper in whom the plague is his clothes shall be rent and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean." God required of the leper contrition, but also required a confession. confession. He was to cover his lips and then to cry out as he went, "Unclean, unclean." What the victim of leprosy had to do was own their own uncleanness. They had to confess their condition and the awfulness of it. As the leper went about crying, "Unclean, unclean," all they were doing was repeating what the priest in the temple had already declared. It was the priest in the temple that had declared them unclean. The priest in the temple had examined their body, had examined the plague, and had pronounced them unclean. And we see this as we look through the book of Leviticus, or these chapters in Leviticus, chapters 13 and 14. In verse 6, it tells us, "And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean." Verse 8 then says, "And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy." And so it was the priest in the temple that pronounced somebody clean or else unclean. Therefore, the leper, as they went about declaring unclean, unclean, all they were doing was personally acknowledging what the priest had said was true. That's all they were doing. They were only acknowledging what the priest had told them in the temple. And what we're brought to see here is the very nature of confession. The very nature of confession of sin. Confession of sin is that personal acknowledgement that what the great high priest who dwelleth not in the temple made by hands, but in heaven itself, what he has said is true. That's what confession of sin is. Acknowledging what Christ says is true. One who confesses their sin, one who owns their sin, is not telling God that they have sinned. God already knows they have sinned. God already knows they have broken God's law. Because he is the one that has been offended. But when we confess our sin, we merely agree with what God says about our sin. That we own our own uncleanness and our own wickedness. Because it is God, it is Christ particularly, that reveals to us our own uncleanness. And he does this in a number of ways. Christ reveals our sin to us through his word. He says to us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Very directly, we can see as we come to God's word, Christ says, we are unclean, we are sinners, we have broken his law. All of us have. None excluded. God also exposes our own uncleanness through that part of our man's being called his conscience. His conscience. When the lady caught in the act of adultery was brought before Christ, Christ said to the men that brought her, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And then Christ stooped down and continued to draw in the sand. But then we read what happened. "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one." What happened was this. These men felt their own uncleanness. Their conscience troubled them. They realized they were guilty. And God has given each one a conscience. And that conscience tells us that we are unclean, that we are sinners. Oh yes, you know that tonight, don't you, in God's house? You know that very, very clearly. But you're a sinner. Your conscience isn't telling you that you're righteous and you're perfect. It's telling you the opposite. God also brings men to see their sin through his Spirit. By the workings of his Spirit. In John 6 and 8 it tells us, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will reprove or he will convince the world of sin. Perhaps you've sat in a gospel meeting. You've sat in God's house. And as the gospel has been preached, you have been convicted of your sin. You've been challenged about your sin. You've been troubled in your sin. And you have thought that man, whatever he said or whatever way he presented it, he was really troubling. It wasn't the man at all. It was God's Spirit manifesting to you your sinful condition. And so there is this threefold testimony and how God manifests to us our own uncleanness, our own sin, through his word and by his Spirit and by our conscience. And all we are doing when we confess our sin is agreeing with God, agreeing with what God has declared, agreeing with what God has said. You see, the wickedness of not confessing your sin is to say to God, you're not telling the truth. That's what it is like. It's like coming before God and saying, God, you're a liar. I'm not going to confess my sin. It's saying, God, you're a liar. Because God has given you a threefold testimony, a witness that proves to you that you are a sinner, that you are unclean. Imagine the leper who would not listen to the priest. Came to the priest, and the priest looked upon his skin. And it was very obvious that it was leprosy. And the priest declared, you are unclean, you're a leper. And that person left the temple that day and said, listen, I'm not going to listen to the priest. You would say, what a foolish person. What a foolish person. His body manifests it so clearly. And the longer that he lives, the more it is manifested that he is a leper. So it is tonight with you. Your life manifests so clearly that you're a sinner, that you're unclean, that you need a savior. And the longer that you live, the clearer this becomes, because more sin develops in your life. Oh, you must confess your sin. You must acknowledge your sin and your own uncleanness tonight and cry out to God, I am unclean. I am unclean. There was the confession of the leper, the contrition of the leper, the condition of the leper. One more thing. Think here of the cleansing of the leper. The terrible disease of leprosy found in the Bible presented those who were infected with the awful prospect of having no hope. There was nothing they could do or others could do to withstand and drive out this miserable disease. The reality was, not unless there was divine intervention by God, then the situation would grow worse until death took the victim. However, we can say this. The terrible disease of sin found in the Bible presents those who are infected with the awful prospect of having no hope. Having no hope. There's nothing they can do or others can do to withstand and drive out this miserable disease. The reality is, not unless there is divine intervention by God, then the situation for those that have this terrible infection of disease will just grow worse until death comes and takes its victim. What I want you to see tonight is this. But for divine intervention, intervention by God himself, then those that have sin in their hearts and lives, and that's all men, are without hope in this world and without hope for the world that is to come. The glorious and wonderful news of the gospel is this. Divine intervention has been made for the sinner. And there is a way of cleansing. There is a way of healing for the sin-sick soul. And in closing, I want us to turn to Luke 5 and to see the great provision that God has made for man who is sick with the leprosy of sin. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 5 and see what it says here in verses 12 and 13 in Luke's Gospel chapter 5. Here we have a case of leprosy presented to Christ. Luke's Gospel chapter 5 verse 12 tells us, and it came to pass, when he that is Christ was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. This is the great provision Jesus Christ has made for the cleansing of the soul that is sick with leprosy. Jesus Christ is the one. The one that can come and the one that can cleanse. The one that can wash away the filth of our sin in his own precious blood. Notice this man was full of leprosy. It had taken over completely in his body. He was riddled with it. It had got to this terrible stage. It could be said he was full of it. But that did not matter, as he simply cried to Christ for cleansing. He was made clean. So it is for you in your sin. Oh, if you will seek Christ tonight and say, Lord, cleanse me from the defilement and uncleanness of my sin. Cleanse me from this corruption that is in my soul, that is rotting my soul, and bringing me into that place of death where I will forever be separated from God. I want you, Christ, to cleanse me from this. If you come and cry that, Christ will say, I will. Be thou clean. Christ is the power and virtue to cleanse you from every sin. For he has shed his sinless blood for the cleansing of his people. Paul told the believers in Corinth who were guilty of some of the most terrible sin. They were defiled by some of the most wicked sin. He said to them, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner, why would you continue on in the filthiness of your sin and perish? Why would you continue on with the disease of sin corrupting your soul? You can be made clean tonight. You can be made so clean that on the last day, on the day of judgment, you will be able to stand in the presence of the great and holy judge. So pure and so clean, it would be as if you had never sinned. With not a mark, with not a stain of sin upon your soul. This is the cleansing that Christ provides. This is the provision that is provided for the sinner who is sick with sin. But oh, you must come to the great physician tonight. You must come and call upon him. And seek him just like this leper did in Luke 5. And you shall be clean. I trust you will. And tonight you will seek the Lord. And you'll know this cleansing. This miraculous cleansing of your soul being cleansed from the terrible disease of the leprosy of sin. I trust that each one in our meeting tonight would heed the word of God, would come and find salvation in Christ.